Blog Talk Radio.
And I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. I surrender, surrender all. I surrender, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You are highly lifted up. There is no one like you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are highly lifted up. There is no one like you.
Every other power, powerless power,
Every other power is powerless power, but Jesus power, super power. Every other power is powerless power. Jesus power, super power. Every other power, powerless power. Every other power is powerless power. But Jesus power, super power. Every other power, powerless. Every other power, powerless power.
Send me, 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 send me
Use me, use me, Lord, get a mind. Use me. Oh, the Lord wants somebody. Jeremiah, use me. Send me, Lord, Jeremiah. Send me, Lord, Jeremiah. Send me. Oh, the Lord wants somebody. Jeremiah. Send me, Lord, Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Use me, Lord, I'm the Lord. Want somebody. Jeremiah. Use me, Lord, Jeremiah. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Worthy, you are worthy, Lord. Worthy to be praised. You are worthy, Lord. Worthy, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Worthy, worthy to be praised. You are worthy, Lord, worthy, you are worthy, Lord. Worthy, worthy, to be praised, worthy, you are worthy, Lord. Worthy, 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 Lord, worthy. Worthy, you are worthy, Lord, worthy, worthy, you are worthy, Lord, worthy. Worthy, we are worthy, Lord. Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace, goodwill to all men. Hallelujah. You are all welcome to the Our Miracles Radio and TV Ministries of the Jesus Christ Global Mission, reaching your way. From Langham, Maryland, USA, this is Archbishop Stephen John Buchholz coming your way with the living word of God that saves, heals, delivers, and blesses. Hallelujah. God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. Yes, today we're going to be sharing on the man God used, which also means the woman God used. God will use some people, and God will not use some people. Why? Oh, yes, the reasons are very clear. You know, the prophet Isaiah in Holy Spirit, bless your people today. Let your word go forth and bring life to your people in the name of Jesus. Yes, the valley of dry bones. Receive the word of God, receive the spirit and the power and the anointing and begin to live for Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God is looking for a man, God is looking for a woman who is going to use in this end time. It is true that God wants to use everybody who gives their life to him. But you see, there are levels of commitment when we talk about the kingdom principle. There are those God has chosen, vessels of honor, instruments of honor. In a house, there are vessels of honor. There are vessels of his grace. Oh, God, may you be the vessel that God is looking for today. In the name of Jesus, may you be the Esther that God is going to use in this generation. May you be the Ruth. May you be the Abraham, the Daniel, the Joseph, the Apostle Paul of this generation. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will not be a Judas Iscariot. Have you seen people answering the name Judas? Judas Iscariot. The man who betrayed Jesus Christ for standing in the name of Jesus. Oh, we are funny characters. Funny characters. You know, a lot of people don't want to answer the name Samson. You know the story of Samson? A lot of people don't want to answer the name Cain and Abel. You know, all those names are driven into the background because of the characteristics of those people, the nature of those people, and they are not examples worth emulating. But people want to answer the name Mary, Joseph, Daniel, David. They want to answer those positive people who lived in the Bible days and how God used them. Moses, we talk about Joshua, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. Oh yes, you need to go into those characters and see what made them special, what made them unique. For God to have picked those people, Esther, and so on and so forth. See, God is calling his people out of darkness. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show forth presence and grace. For he has called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into his marvelous God, into his marvelous life. For you I chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show for his presence and grace. For he has called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into his marvelous light, into his marvelous light. Oh, let us shout hallelujah. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Oh, let us sing hallelujah. Out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into his marvelous light, into his marvelous light. For you I chose a generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show for his presence and grace. For he has called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into his marvelous light, into his marvelous light. Oh, let us shout hallelujah. Praise love. Oh, let us shout hallelujah. Out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into his marvelous light, into his marvelous light. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. For we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God has called us out of darkness to come forth. He wants to use you in this end time to preach the gospel of salvation, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. God is calling you today to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. For he has called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, you don't have to be in darkness. Satan is darkness. The devil is in darkness. You still want to remain in darkness? God has called you. You know that 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. He said, for we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show forth his glory on earth. He has called us out of darkness to be his own people. And somebody is still, you know, wanting the devil to use people. The devil shouldn't use you. God should use you. The Holy Spirit should possess you and use you mightily to preach the gospel, to sing the word of God, to sing for Jesus, to work for Jesus. Oh, yes. You want to serve the devil? If you serve the devil will take you to hellfire. As many as received him, to them God gave power to become the sons of God. You know, Father's Day is just a couple of weeks from now, on the 19th, and we're going to be talking about the man God uses. Apart from that, the Bible talks about woman. Each time the Bible means man, it means male and female. Because all the way from Genesis, it has always been God made them male and female. So when we talk about man, we mean male and female. The man or the woman God uses. You see, God is seeking for a man, seeking for a, you are there, and God is looking for people. Where did you go? why did God look for another person? Hey, don't let God pass you. Pass me not a gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Why, Lord, as thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Why, Lord, as thou art calling, do not pass me by. Don't let God pass you by. God is waiting for you. God is calling on you. God is looking for you. Let him find you. Yes, let him find you today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're talking about the man or the woman God will use in this end time. These are prayerful people. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. He said, pray without ceasing. We got to pray without ceasing. You must be a prayerful person. Oh, this work is founded on prayer. This work of God is founded on prayer. Yes, a prayerful Christian is a powerful Christian. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. So you must be a prayerful person. If God is going to use you in this end time, you must be able to pray and fast and stay in the presence of God and stay in the word of God so that God's word can dwell in you. Colossians chapter 3 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. The word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word of God. The word was God. The word was God. The word of God is God himself. So the scripture says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Prayer and the word go together. Oh, yes. Today I stumbled on a scripture in Acts Apostles chapter 6. Acts Apostles chapter 6. The early disciples, they were telling, they chose men and women who would serve in the house of God. They had to choose the deacons and the deaconesses to serve tables. Acts chapter 6, verse 2 to 4, and they mentioned the qualities and the characteristics of those who were going to be serving. men of good report, people of integrity and dignity, humble and simple, straightforward people, faithful and trustworthy. And then there was a statement in verse 4, I'll never forget. It said, but we, the disciples, we want to give our time to prayer and the word. That's verse 4. Acts of Apostles, chapter 6, verse 4. The apostles, they said, we, the apostles, we want to give our time to prayer and the word. And there are two basic pillars of the Christian faith, prayer and the word. We want to give our time to prayer and the word. These two pillars hold you up in the Christian faith, in the walk with God. The word of God must be in you. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, Jesus pulled the word of God in his breathing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the living God. The devil came with a second temptation. Jesus pulled the word of God again. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He hit the devil on the head. The devil ran away and came with a third temptation. Jumped from the pinnacle. And then he quoted the scripture wrongly. He said, he shall give his angel charge for you. Yes, it's true, but he's not going to tempt God. So Jesus pulled the word of God again. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He hit the devil on the head. Bam! And then the devil ran away. And the angels ministered to him, Matthew chapter 4, from verse 1 to 6, to see the temptation of Jesus Christ. So he had the word. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Every child of God, every servant of God, every minister of God must have the word of God on the inside. Oh, yes, don't run and go and pick your Bible in the time of temptation. That's not what Jesus did. when Eve faced the same temptation in the Garden of Eden, Eve had no word of God. Eve had no word of God to use. So the devil had a field day, overtook her, conquered her, and then conquered her husband, Adam. But when that same temptation came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus had the word, the rhema, the logos. He had the word of God on the inside. He let the word of God dwell in you richly. And so he pulled the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the offensive weapon of the believer. Jesus pulled it. Pull the trigger. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He hit the devil on the head. Harakabaya. Lando robo kebaya anda. The people God will use in this end time must have the word of God on the inside. I don't like being a baby Christian. You know, there are a lot of baby Christians around. Baby Christians. I call them baby Christians because they depend on other people's faith. They depend on other people's prayer. And every time they are calling somebody, please pray for me. Every time they are calling somebody, give me the word of God that I will use for this particular. You see, they don't know they are led from their right. You know, please pray for me kind of Christians. I call them baby Christians. The Bible talks about growing on to maturity. You know, how can you use babies to win people to Christ? Their lives will drive away people from Jesus Christ. You know, what type of life are you? A defeated Christian. Somebody who has no authority on the believer. You don't have the word, your authority, the weapon, the only offensive weapon of the believer, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. You don't have it. How can God use you? This is very serious. Because as I move around this big church, I see a lot of baby Christians. Baby Christians. I pray today that you will not be a baby Christian in the name of Jesus. Baby Christian. Baby. I don't baby sit you. Baby sit you all the time. God have mercy. God have mercy. I reject that spirit. How can I be a baby? You know, they defeated me. You know, every day call somebody to pray for me. I'm kind of pray. You know, a prayerful Christian is a powerful Christian. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. That's why people get defeated, frustrated, disappointed, disgraced. You know, no authority. You know, they don't have it. I pray today that you begin to have what God has for you, the authority of the believer, which is appointed the word of God. You need to exercise the authority as a believer. You know, the dedication, we're talking about another quality of the man or woman God uses. How dedicated are you to the things of the Lord? How committed? How devoted are you? Look at the Muslim. Oh, they want to pray 5 times in a day. Oh, they are faithful to it. They want to fast. Oh, they are faithful to it. Everything they want to do, they keep to it. But come and see Christians. You have to pull them to come and pray. You have to drag them. You know, unwilling followers. For when Isaiah was in the house of God, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was in the house of God all alone by himself, spending time in the presence of God, devotion, dedication, commitment. He was there in the house of God, praying and waiting on the Lord. And God spoke to him, who will I send? Who will go for me? Isaiah said, yes, Lord, I'm ready to go. And the Lord took the coal of fire and anointed his lips. And God said, now go first. You have received my blessing. See, he was in the place of prayer. Dedicated, committed. You know, he gave his time to the Lord. And the Lord visited him and ministered to him. May that happen to you today. May God visit you. May the Holy Spirit visit you. May Jesus reveal himself to you. May he commission you into your calling and your ministry. Yes, may he lay his hands on you and pronounce his blessings on you. Oh, this is very important. We need to be dedicated. Look at the prophet Moses. The prophet Moses, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights on top of Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. And they are not saying that everybody must fast 40 days and 40 nights. That's not compulsory. God has to lead you. But I'm talking about the dedication and the commitment. You talk about people like Daniel, who went without food for 21 days, just taking vegetables and fruits only for 21 days. So these are levels of commitment, are levels of dedication, levels, you know, people go into and get greater anointings and greater power. People like Prophet Elijah. They don't even live in comfort. They are in the desert. They are in the cave. They are on top of the mountain. In those days in the Old Testament, if you wanted to concentrate, you wanted to have quiet time with the Lord, you wanted to have some quiet moments, you go on top of the mountain, the hilltop. And there you are separated from people, you are separated from the world, you are separated from noise, you are separated from everything. You are alone with God. Somebody wrote a book, Alone with God. That's a very powerful book. I think Bishop Waleoke from Nigeria, he wrote that book, Alone with God. You know, that's a powerful book I recommend for a lot of people. Alone with God. Read through the Bible. Anytime any person is alone with God, they receive impartation. They receive from the throne of grace. Look at Jacob. Jacob ran away from home. In the book of Genesis, Jacob ran away from home because he had stolen his brother's birthright. And as he was running away from home, on the way, he had divine encounter with the Lord. And the Lord ministered to him alone with God. Alone with God. Sometimes we need to be alone with God. You know, so we are so noisy. We are so, every time you are in the crowd. Let me tell you this. God does not always be with the crowd. Read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God is not waiting for a crowd of people before he will do what he wants to do. Look at Abraham. He called Abraham and spoke to him. What about Noah? God was angry with what was going on. He looked on the earth. It was wickedness all over. God said, I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to destroy everything. He called Noah and spoke to him. And on and on and on and on and on and on and on. See, God is not waiting for the crowd. Yesterday, I was going through the scriptures, and I there was something I stepped on. I found out that Jesus Christ was doing the same thing. Sometimes when Jesus had to minister, had to pray for some particular cases that were kind of serious cases, Jesus he took Peter and then James and John, just three. Out of the 12 disciples, he took Peter, John, and James only. And then he repeated it again. Then he did it again. Then I said, you see? See, that crowd is not what God is looking for. And inside, Jesus picked out those three and they went for something. It was achievement. You know, because that crowd, sometimes you have unbelieving believers. Everybody will say, amen. Somebody will say, no, it's not amen. You see, disagreements in the faith. You know, when there are disagreements like that in the faith, God does not move. God move in a positive atmosphere where there is faith. You know, look at Acts chapter 2, where the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they were all in one accord. They were in agreement. And so heaven opened and the Holy Spirit came down in power. If there is disagreement in that crowd, the Holy Spirit is not going to come down. You know, so King David said, Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If you regard iniquity in your heart, Psalm 66, verse 18, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. So where there is division and bubble of anger and hatred and malice, God does not operate in such atmosphere. So that's why sometimes God will deal with just one person. He sought for a man. He sought for a man who will fill the gap. Just one man. Just one man. Okay, in the days of Prophet Elijah, there were other prophets. There were other prophets, but God always speaks Prophet Elijah. Why? He was a man who was in touch with heaven. He was in touch with the Father, in touch with God to the point where when he had to leave this earth, a chariot came from heaven to pick him to heaven. You can see the level of relationship he had with God. All these things matter. You have no relationship with God and you think God is going to use you. How is God going to use you? You need to be tied up with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you abide in Christ and his word abide in you, you shall ask anything you want and it shall be done. That's John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask anything, it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask anything, it shall be done unto you. If you abide in Christ and the words of Christ abide in you, you shall ask anything in his name and it shall be done unto you. See, so your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ matters so much. I tell you, it is the most important aspect of your Christian walk with God. Your personal relationship with the Almighty God. Your personal relationship with Jesus. It was the reason why when Jesus came on earth and he was ministering to the people, Jesus is not going to ask you, what church do you belong? That one question, I don't like asking that question. What church are you going? Or what church do you belong? Because people have ready answers. They have ready answers for you. If you want to go by that way, you're going to miss it. You say, what church are you going? Well, what church do you belong? They are going to tell you 100 churches where they belong to. The same person is smoking cigarettes and drinking wine and, you know, sleeping with prostitutes. The person is a harlot, the person is a thief, the person is a liar, the person is an arm robber, the person is a murderer, and he's telling you all the churches he's attending. So Jesus never went that route. He did ask people, do you go to church? What church do you go? Because they are going to tell him cook and push story. They are going to tell him hundreds of churches where they are going to. So Jesus don't even bother to ask. Don't tell me your church. I don't need to know. What did Jesus ask? Jesus said, have you been born again? Since you believe, have you received Jesus? How is your lifestyle? Have you been saved? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again? Jesus was asking Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you are talking about religion and talking about church and talking about... Yes, nothing wrong with that. John chapter 3. It's very good to be talking religion and be talking. But there is a question for Nicodemus. Nicodemus, have you been born again? That was a bomb right there. Hit Nicodemus for real. Nicodemus was at sea. He had no answer to this one. I know he must have thought, oh, Jesus, why don't you ask me which church I'm going? Let me tell you all the churches I'm going. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm going to all those churches. My father built the church. I own the church. I put money in the church. I did that. I know Jesus Christ was going to be told all those cock and bush stories. So Jesus did not go that route. Jesus came from another angle. Nicodemus, have you been born again? Are you really saved? If you die now, will you go to heaven? Nicodemus, you know, he surrendered. And, you know, gave his life to Jesus, and Jesus, you know, got him saved. And Nicodemus followed Jesus Christ even up to the cross, just like the centurion. And, you know, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He got saved. The same with the woman at the well of Samaria. The woman at the well of Samaria, she probably is a deaconess or probably a choir or something in the church, whatever. So when Jesus came across her, and Jesus was talking the word of God to her, And Jesus did not discuss religion, because that is going to bring argument. So Jesus said, woman, you have married too many times, and even this marriage you are now is not working, because you are not saved, you are not born again, your life is not renewed. You see how the old life, if anyone be in Christ, is a new creature. The old things are passed away and all things have become new. How can you win souls to the kingdom? How can you be a vessel, an instrument for God to use when you have not been born again, you have not been saved, you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God? And so we look at people like Esther in Esther chapter 4, verse 15, the level of commitment. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. I don't even care what happens. I'm just going all out for the Lord. Now, the question is this. When people join military, do they care? Do they care what happened? They join military, join Air Force, they join Navy, they join, the Marine. They don't care. How about serving God? If people can die in war, can we die for Jesus? Oh, yes. We can die for Jesus. If I perish, I perish. That is the level of commitment. Are you committed to the Lord to that level? To the level where you can say, like Esther, if I perish, I perish, I don't care, I'm going all out. I'm going all out, and it doesn't matter what happens, I'm just going to die for the Lord. If I perish, I perish. See, that's a level of commitment, a level where, look at people like Job, for instance. Because yesterday, I was talking about following Jesus Christ. Following Jesus Christ, for what reason? The people who followed Jesus Christ, it was a mixed multitude of people, just like they followed Moses, they followed Jesus Christ. And Jesus fed them, the same way Moses fed them in the wilderness, Jesus fed 4,000, and then Jesus fed another 5,000. And then the Bible says they followed him. They followed Jesus because he was feeding them with food, feeding them with everything, feeding them. So they are following because there is food and drink. They are following because of the material things they are gaining. They follow. One day, Jesus decided to test them. He told them, are you following me because of the bread and the fish? You know, you are following me for the bread and the fish. And they got angry and ran away. See? Those are unfaithful followers. Unfaithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are following Jesus Christ for what they can get, what they can eat, what they can grab, what they can take. That's not discipleship. You are following Christ for who he is. You are following Christ because you love him. You are following Jesus Christ because he's your Savior, he's your Redeemer. You follow Jesus Christ because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We follow Jesus Christ because he came to die for us to be saved. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And by his side, we are healed. So we are following Jesus Christ not because of bread and wine, bread and meat. We don't follow Jesus Christ because of fish and bread. We need to follow Jesus Christ because of He is our Savior and Redeemer. Now, in the book of Job, you find the temptation that came to Job. The temptation was so severe. Job was serving God faithfully. Job was serving God with all his heart. Job was serving God with all his mind. Job was serving God with all his spirit. And Satan came and said, Job, you are not serving God for nothing. If I tempt you now, you are going to drop from serving God. We went to God, and laid the complaint. And God said, I trust my servant Job. Job is not going to disappoint me. He is going to be faithful. I know who he is. I know what he stands for. And so the devil left and went to carry out the temptation. The temptation was his health was done. His property was done. His wealth was done. His riches was done. His businesses were gone, his family was gone, everything was taken away. And Job was reduced to a sick man trying to survive. He was a sick man, you know, lying down on top of ashes. He could not do anything again. His wife came and said, Job, are you still serving God? Curse God and die. Job said, no, I'm not going to curse God and die. Even though he slayed me, yet will I serve him. And the Bible said that Job shaved his head and went down and worshiped God and praised God and glorified God and honored God and adored God. Even in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of problems, in the midst of troubles, in the midst. That is the true test of a child of God. That is the true test of a Christian. If you can persevere in the midst of turbulence, in the midst of troubles and problems and issues, you are able to go through. That is the real test of a believer. We don't have to be milk and honey believers. You know, when it's fair weather friends, when it is good, then we are serving God. When everything is all right, then we will serve God. When there are temptations, we don't want to serve God. When there are issues, we don't want to serve God. That's not a true child of God. A true child of God must serve God no matter what happens. No matter what happens, you are still prayerful, you are still in the word, you are still doing evangelism, you are still winning souls for Christ, you are still supporting work of God, supporting ministry, supporting the house of God, supporting servants of God to go forth and do the work of the Lord. That is the true child of God. That is the one God in you. That is the person God has called. That is the person that has the mandate to fulfill the ministry. Oh, yes. A humble spirit. James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, God giveth grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. God gives grace to the humble. To the humble people, God gives them grace. Give me grace to follow, abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow, thy grace is enough for me. Give me grace to follow, abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow, thy grace is enough for me. James chapter 4 verse 6. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. So when you are humble, that is when God gives you grace, mercy, and favor. He gives you honor. Oh, yes, he resists the proud. He rebukes the proud. It's like Saul, King Saul, the proud, self-willed man. God resisted Saul, but he gave grace to David, a humble man, a contrite spirit, a man of contrite spirit, humble man. That is the one God uses. Proud and arrogant, selfish and greedy people, God is not going to use those. They are just making noise. They are sinners. They have no place in the kingdom. God wants you to have a humble spirit. Like David said, he's a contrite spirit. David had a contrite, a humble, a broken spirit. That is the person God has chosen. And he left his Saul with all his self-will and all his, pride and arrogance and stubbornness and rudeness and rebellion. God just dumped his Saul somewhere and picked David, the humble man. You know, God is looking for such sincere people like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. He says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. It's no longer me. It is Christ that lives in me. Sometimes people are so full of themselves. Full of themselves. They are always talking about themselves and what they want to do and what they want and their own and their own. You know, when you are like that, you are loaded with yourself. God is not coming to you yet. God does not need you. Look at the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2 verse 20, the Apostle Paul, he said, it's no longer I that liveth, it is Christ that liveth in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. That is what it is. Oh, yes, that's what it should be. Go and tell Jesus Christ that you are going to 100 churches. Jesus is not interested. But Christ is living in you, yes. Jesus is interested in that. Christ is living in you. That's what Jesus wants. Because he will manifest himself through you. He will manifest his love through you. He will speak his word through you. He will reach out through you. Through you. That's what God told Abraham. Abraham, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. He will manifest himself through you. That's what it is. I will bless you and then make you a blessing. It is because you have allowed him to come into you, that is why he's reaching out through you. Reaching out through you because you have allowed him to be in you. So Christ in you is the hope of glory. Apostle Paul says, when I come to you, I don't want to know anything except Christ and him crucified. Don't tell me about somebody. Don't tell me about yourself. Don't tell me anything except Christ and him crucified. I'm not interested in gossip. I'm not interested in slandering. I'm not interested in foolish talk and stupid talk except Christ and him crucified. No wonder God used the Apostle Paul. More than all the apostles, used him mightily to the glory of God. One more soul than all the others. You know, open more churches than every one of them. You know, disciple more people, train people in the ministry like Timothy. Brought them up in the way of the Lord. And he was able to put them in line with the word of God, and that up to today, many people still look at the Apostle Paul as their mentor and, example to follow. You know, Jesus Christ is our example, quite all right. Yes, we are all following Jesus Christ, but Apostle Paul says, follow me as I'm following Christ. So If I see a man who is following Jesus Christ, I can even follow that man. I can imitate him. I can copy him. I can learn from him because he is following Jesus Christ, and so I'm following him. Everywhere you go now is carnality and selfishness and the carnal people. Look at the news media. All you hear is men, people who call themselves pastors and preachers. They are now entangled with sexual promiscuity and sexual immorality. And the cops are there for them. The police are arresting them. Some of them have been thrown in jail. You see, they have forgotten their calling, and now the flesh has started ruling, and they are following the flesh. They are having sex with their members, with their women, with their, and then eventually the women now come out and report them to police, report them to the court are arresting them and putting them in jail. It's now all over the media. You see all these things there. You see, so who will God use in this end time? Must be faithful men and women who are serving God in spirit and in truth. He that soweth of his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. He or she that soweth of his spirit shall of his spirit reap eternal life. Do not be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever a woman soweth, that shall he reap. Some years ago, some men of God came on the television. They were crying, and they were confessing all the immoral acts, immoral things they did with women on the television screen. And these are television that global TV. These are television, the national, international TV. Reaching the whole world, all over the world, they were doing them. They were confessing. These are people who preach holiness, preach righteousness, preach. They preach word of God with fire. They came on the screen and they were confessing how they practiced immorality with women in church, how they slept with women, and you know, all the, and some of them were even using the church fund. Church money to pay the prostitutes. You know, they were paying the prostitutes so that they will not report them. All that is going on. You know, they have to, the church money, you go and labor and bring money to church. From that money now, they are taking money to go and pay prostitutes that they slept with so that prostitutes will not report them. The prostitutes should not go and report. So they pay the money to prostitutes. And it was a very bad impression. You know, people were very upset. And a lot of people stopped giving their money out. And up to today, it's still, you know, the effect is still there. You know, carnal people, worldly people, living like something. They want to please the flesh, carnality. They want to satisfy their flesh. God does not need such people. People that God needs are people who are spiritually minded. People like Daniel. Daniel said, look, I'm not going to eat of the king's delicacy. I'm just going to stay in the spirit. You know, men and women who want to stay in the spirit. They don't want to please the flesh. Those are the people God is looking for. Those are the people God wants to use. When you are so filled with your flesh, looking to please your flesh, and your flesh dominates your life, and you are sleeping everywhere with prostitutes secretly in your home, you are sleeping with prostitutes, and then you want God to use you. God cannot use you yet. You need to repent and get right with God. Oh, yes. God is looking for faithful men and women today who will say, I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. All to Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You surrender your worldliness, surrender your selfishness, surrender the carnality, surrender the the old lie that must pass away, except the corn of wheat falls down and die, it abideth not. The corn of wheat, when you plant a seed, the seed will first of all die. When that seed dies, another life will spring out of that seed. That same seed that has just died, another life will spring out of the seed. And when another life comes out of the seed, that seed will generate a new life. Oh, I like that. A new life in Christ. New life. The old life must pass away. Old things are passed away. The old things have become new. All things are passed away. The old things have become new. Any man being Christ, he's a new creation. Any man being Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. The old things have become new. All things are passed away. The old things have become new. Must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, the old things have become new. All these have passed away. The old things have become new. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. All these have passed away. The old things have become new. All these have passed away. The old things have become new. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. All these have passed away. The old things have become new. All these are passed away, the old things are becoming. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All these are passed away, the old things are become new. All these are passed away, the old things are become new. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. All these are passed away. The old things have become new. All these are passed away. The old things have become new. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. All these are passed away. The old things have become new. All these are passed away. The old things have become new. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. All these are passed away. The old things have become new. All these are passed away. The old things have become new. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. All these are passed away. The old things have become new. All is that passed away, the old have been sad because me. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old is a passed away, the old days have become new. Old is a passed away, the old days have become new. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old is a passed away, the old things have become new. Old is a passed away, the old things have become new. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. You must be born again, for you don't have eternal life. Old is a passed away, the old things have become new. Old is a passed away, the old things have become new. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Oh, he's a passed away. You're a big star become him. Oh, he's a passed away. You are what is God. We give glory to thy Lord, even. Yeah. Yeah. What happened?
I didn't see
your number. Did you dial in?
No, I dialed in to
Oh. But it's not showing on the dashboard.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think something went wrong with the internet, because even for me to be able to get on air today was God's doing. Maybe we'll want to dial in. Let's see. Try it one more time. Let's see.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, I see you.
Yeah.
I've been calling on the broadcast since.
Yeah, the number didn't show on the dashboard. You mean you dial in? You dial?
I dial the number that you told me, you sent to me.
Yeah, when you dial in, don't put a 1 before the 515. Don't put 1 before the 515.
Yes, I did, but I heard everything that was going on.
Okay, but it was not showing on my dashboard. Because if it didn't show on my dashboard, it would be very difficult. Okay, I know what is going on. It's a big problem. Into his marvelous love, marvelous love. Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We give you glory, honor, and adoration. God, we have heard your word. We receive your word. By your special grace, of God, we shall not be found unworthy. God, you make us vessels of honor, instruments in your hands that we use in this end time. In the name of Jesus, bless our lives and bless our ministries, Lord. Use us mightily for your purpose on earth. Let your will be done in our lives. The will of the devil shall never be done. Only the will of God Almighty shall be done in our various lives and ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you all for joining us in this broadcast. We had a lot of internet issues today. Most of the guest speakers who are supposed to be online on this broadcast, they couldn't get in because of internet problems. It's not a problem here. I think there are some problems with the internet somewhere, either the thunderstorms have affected it or something, but it's okay. We were able to cover what we have for today. We thank God for that, but we shall continue again next time. Thank you all for joining us. Please forward this message to everyone you know. Let this word bless them, and so that they can be doers of this word and not just hearers alone. God is looking for people to use. May he find you. May God find you today in the name of Jesus. May you be that vessel of honor. May you be that instrument that God will use in this end time in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Jesus loves you. We love you, Felicia and I. We love you all, and we say God bless you all abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God loves you, and I love you, and I will be with you. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hello? Hello?
Please enter your handset for finished first pound key. To start your show now, press 1. Please not order since to place your calling message on my share. We are reconnecting you now.
Hello? Hello?
Praise the Lord.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hello? Oh, oh, yeah. On our number before. Yeah, because
hey.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, that's an old time now. I mean, maybe
Hello?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's crazy.